I'm Hari Srinivasan, and this is the Political Checklist with Gwen Ifill and Judy Woodruff. I'm sitting in for David Chalian, who might be vacationing on a resort and
someplace. We hope he's having a good time wherever he is.
Yeah, wherever he is. Okay, so let's talk tomorrow. Four sets of elections around the country. Arizona, Florida, fill in the other two. Come on, do the math.
Vermont, Alaska.
There you go, Vermont, Alaska. Let's start Arizona. John McCain seemed to have a pretty strong comeback in the last couple of months.
You know, it's kind of interesting. It was only 2 years ago that he was the presidential nominee for the Republican Party, a national reputation. And then, of course, he was running for his life, it felt like, for a while there in Arizona, but no longer. And partly it's because he decided he was going to win. It's not a hard concept to think about, which is, you know, before he had been a champion of campaign finance reform, when the Supreme Court weighed in, basically rolling back the bill he championed, he didn't have a lot to say. Before he had been a champion of thorough immigration reform, and obviously Arizona was at the center of that debate, and he also sided with the governor in terms of what they should do to seal the border. So he was taken on from the right by J.D. Hayworth, former congressman, who decided he was going to embrace the Tea Party. But the Tea Partier-in-Chief, Sarah Palin, embraced her old buddy John McCain. Yeah. So that gap quickly closed.
And J.D. Hayworth is now trying to argue, way behind in the polls, he's trying to argue, hey, if you re-elect John McCain, he's going to revert to the old John McCain. But by now, I think pretty much the cake is baked. John McCain is well ahead of former Congressman Hayworth. But I think there's some damage that's been done to John McCain because he did, as Gwen said, backtrack on a number of positions he had taken for years. It's not as if these were things that he had suddenly decided he agreed with. He's made some significant retrenchments, and we'll see what that does to him going forward.
Florida, Kendrick Meeks. Looks like he's got a better chance now than he did.
He's picking up his billionaire opponent in the Democratic primary for the Senate. Jeff Green was looking strong, had all this money. He was pouring, I think, $17, $15 million in. But now it turns out Mr. Green has had a few colorful episodes in his background, some partying in the Caribbean and association with former boxer Mike Tyson and just some other things that people are questioning.
Kendrick Meek is an interesting person. This is the first time he's ever actually run a contested race. He got elected to Congress for his mother's seat, Carrie Meek, without ever having anybody to run against him. So this was a really tough race. And not only that, but now it doesn't, even though he also is well ahead in the polls at this point, the real key in Florida, as we all know, is this three-way general election, which we're anticipating with an independent, former Florida, or his current Florida Governor Charlie Crist, and Marco Rubio, the former House Speaker, who is running to the right of Charlie Crist because he's running on the Republican ticket. And it's the three of them together, we're mostly watching to see what's going to happen with the other two-thirds, and any Democrat who had won this nomination was going to have an uphill fight.
And it is going to be tough. I mean, right now you have to say Kendrick Meek is the underdog going into that three-way race. It's been a fascinating story in Florida all year.
All right, let's talk a little bit about campaign cash, or at least on the party side coming in. They just had their July filings. The Republicans not doing as well as we expected with all of this sort of brouhaha about, oh, look, this is about throwing the bums out, and let's go with the party that's on the outside.
And it's a contradiction because on the one hand, the enthusiasm seems to be with the Republicans. All the polls show when you ask people who's going to turn out, it's the people supporting the Republican candidates who are excited. And yet, the Republicans raised only half as much as the Democrats. Overall, half as much cash on hand, half as much money raised in July, so they've got a lot of ground to catch up.
But here's the $5.5 million for RNC, $11 million for the DNC, but the Republican Governors Association is raising money hand over fist. Other organizations who raise money thanks to the Supreme Court, which are not necessarily party organizations, but which are affiliated with Republicans, are raising money hand over fist. The congressional committees are raising more money than the Democratic congressional committees. Even though the national party may be lagging, it doesn't mean the party is lagging.
Okay. That is our political checklist for the week. Judy Woodruff, Gwen Ifill, thanks so much.
Thank you, Hari.
Thank you.
It's been nice warming David Chalian's seat, and I am very sorry, Gwen, that the air conditioner probably dripped on you a couple times.
That's not the worst thing that's ever happened.
All right. I'm Hari Srinivasan. This is the Political Checklist. Thanks for watching.